Father, continue to reveal to each one of us the height and length and depth of the love of Christ that passes all human knowledge. We thank you, Father. We are born of your Spirit, born of love.
Yes.
And that which is within us, we shall come to know in a greater way. And Father, we are more than conquerors. Jesus Christ, who loved us. And Father, we thank you for the victory we have in Christ. And in it, Lord, we see your loving kindness to us, which draws us to you. So we draw near to you now, Lord, with a heart. Knowing we are cleansed from the blood of the Lamb. Father, we stand before you in all confidence that your Holy Spirit, who began a work in us, will continue this day by the power of your word working in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, let's open our Bibles to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, and I'm going to begin. 1 says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him, said John the Apostle, to show his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel, his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that reads and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things that are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he comes with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they which pierced him and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, says the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come. Now, at verse 1, I want to begin pointing out, it says the revelation of Jesus Christ. Sometimes people erroneously call this the book of Revelations, plural. That's not what it says. It's singular. The revelation of Jesus Christ. And included with that revelation are things that are going to come to pass. But the revelation that comes here is him returning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's going to judge demons, judge sin, and all that, and establish a new heaven and a new earth after having received his people to himself. So there's a revelation of him as king. When he came the first time, he was revealed as Savior. He had said at one point, I didn't come to judge the world, I came to save it, in the Gospel of John. He came that first time to offer himself to save us from sin and that which sin produces, which is separation from God and death. Time when he comes, he will come as King of Kings, exercising his authority and judging sin. Now, to those who believe, sin was judged on his body on the tree or on the cross. Our sins have already been judged. Amen. We are cleansed. They've already been judged. But for those who are persisting still, that judgment will come at the end. And John, he says here, bore record of the word and the testimony of Jesus and the things that he saw. Now, God showed him a lot of things. And Jesus, in John's gospel, speaking of the Holy Spirit, said he would show you things to come. Now, sometimes people read something like that and they think, like, God's going to be your fortune teller. Well, that's not really what it's saying, although he will show you things about your future as on a need-to-know basis. So you hear that expression before? Some things are told on a need-to-know basis. You know, the military, a general doesn't tell all the plans to a private, except on a need-to-know basis. What do you need to know? Because their obligation is to obedience. So they only need to know what they need to know, to obey him. But it's not about like fortune telling, and people that get into that component of satanic work to try to know the future, the motivations, fear that they can, because they fear the future, they can try to do something to control their own future, to control their own destiny. A wise man will let God be in control. He has a destiny ordained, preordained for you. With it comes a plan, and he gives you the power of the Holy Ghost to fulfill that plan and to carry out all he's ordained for your life. We'll get more of that in a few moments, but I just want to stress here that the Holy Spirit was going to reveal the things to come in particular which would pertain to the kingdom of God. The death of Jesus Christ was going to give us access in relationship to God, to his family, and to be a citizen of his kingdom. And as a citizen of his kingdom, we can partake of all that it has and all that it is. And that was yet to come. See, that didn't exist yet for them. That's what was yet to come following his death, which he was talking to them about. He was talking to them about his death. And that he'll be back. And the Holy Spirit's going to be given to walk them on through and to show them what he was about to do. See, they got in a lot of distress whenever Jesus started talking about the future. We see that in the Gospels. He began to say, well, I'm going to die and be raised again the third day. And they're saying, no, no. And even Peter in Matthew 16 said, no, not so, Lord, not so. And Jesus rebuked him. He said, you're following after your father, the devil. You don't savor the things that are of God. Sometimes what God would bring to pass might involve some things that to our natural man aren't pleasant. That's right. But the end result is worth it all. Case in point, having a child is not necessarily a pleasant experience. Can hear an amen from the ladies section. But afterward, the fruit that's going to come out in that new life's worth it all. And you do it again. You do it again. Something's wrong with somebody. It goes through a lot of pain and suffering and says, yeah, let's do it again. Except for the fact that the joy that's brought forth is worth it all. And you see, what the Father had in mind for us, or has in mind, is worth it all. Even though while we're on this earth, we're surrounded with death and suffering, there is a place of victory in Jesus Christ. And he wants us to know that. So he's saying, I'm going to show you the things to come pertaining to the kingdom. But he also showed them to the end. So that they had enough understanding of the future to know what they need to be moving toward. Yes. The God who is, was, and is to come. Yes. He's the God of the past, present, and future. You always live your life in the present. And there are things available through him and in him that can be experienced in the present. And that should be a yearning and a desire for us. The presence of God. The kingdom fruit, in particular, love, peace, and joy. And we were created in the image of God, so you were created for that. Nothing else will really satisfy you. That's what you were created for. But Satan deceives people and gets them looking in all the wrong places. Looking to a physical place, looking to an activity or accomplishment, looking to sexual relationship, looking to various experiences of this life, drunkenness and drugs and all the rest, looking, searching. Anybody involved with these things is searching for something. They may not think about it, or they might think about it. Before I was saved, I thought about it. I was searching. And because my exposure was to religion, I didn't know it was in Jesus for a while. Till I realized all the world has to offer doesn't give it. There's always this yearning. See, that's something you know about the unsaved. They were made in the image of God for the kingdom of God, the glory of God. They want what you have. They're just deceived. Satan's games get you to think good's bad and bad's good. So he'll try to deceive people to think, oh, like drugs and sex and this and that. That's the high life. No, that's the low life. You have what they want. The more you can demonstrate that, not by putting on an act, but by just living and living that, being that, people will watch you. And there will be times you're going to miss the mark. You humble yourself. Say, I'm not perfect, but I serve the one who is. He's forgiven me. How about you? Has he forgiven you? Have you received it? It's available. Well, the God who was, who is, was, and is to come. And the Bible reveals who he is. Jesus said, it's one of my favorite portions in the Word, Matthew 16. It's on that rock he'll build his church. It's the revelation of who he is expressed, confessed, and acted upon. He builds on that. We make connection with God and with heaven through that revelation. And throughout the Bible, the Bible is a book where he's revealing himself. If I read a biography, I want to know about that person. It's a book about their life. And in it, in reading a biography, and I enjoy reading biographies of men and women of God in particular, you look for something in there. You look for what makes them what they are. You might see what they did. They did some heroic act in a war or something like that. But what made them to be that way? I caught the latter part of this movie called Hacksaw Ridge this week. And it's about World War II. It's a true story. There was a man who accepted Jesus Christ. Actually, he was Seventh-day Adventist. And he purposed he would, because he almost shot his father right in the head because he hated his father. His father beat him and his mother. And finally, God, he had enough. He almost killed his dad. And he repented and he said, I'll never touch a gun again. Well, he gets drafted. He's going to be sent to war to fight the Japanese. And he refused to fire a gun. And all of his fellow soldiers were mocking him and just making a fool out of him. And here they are in this battle. I don't know what battle it was, Okinawa or one of those. And he was like acting like a medic. And they were getting, the U.S. guys were getting slaughtered. And they retreated. And he ran in the battlefield and dragged out 75 dying soldiers. Even a couple Japanese. And he lowered them down a cliff because they had climbed up this cliff. And where they had landed on the beach, lowered him down with a rope all night. And he kept praying, give me the strength. To save one more. Give me the strength, Lord. Well, anyway, here, all these guys, one by one, getting over down off this cliff. He keeps running into the battle, and God delivered him from being killed. And the fear of God came on the other men that he did this. They were marveling, you know, the courage that he had. And the next time, the next day, when they were going to go into battle, they were standing there, and the commanding officers giving order to go. And they all said, "We're not moving till this private finishes praying and he's heard from God." It's pretty wild. It's a true story. But what's interesting, my point in sharing that, in the midst of it, you could see into what made him what he was. You can look at what he did. You could just read something. Oh, somebody, this guy saved 75 people from battle. But it was his conviction and consecration to God. And he was consecrated himself that he was going to save life, not take life, at the risk of his own life. And see, that made him who he was. So at the end, you know, they had this old fellow sharing about it. And some of the guys with him, how they mocked him. And he drug them out. You know, they're bleeding to death. He drug them out of there. And stuff like that's good. But that just popped into my mind that, you know, when it comes to like a story, we think of a story. What makes the person what they are? To get to know somebody, you need to know what's in them, not just look at what they do on the outside. I mean, that's a beginning point. But what makes them the way they are? Now, some people have some ugly. What made them that way? If you consider that, it could help you be a little more merciful towards the ugly people. I'm not talking about physical ugly. I'm talking about hateful. You know, we have so much of that around us in our nation. And there are people that are spawning and perpetrating hatred and brings violence in the land, where people are just so angry, blaming other people for things. And because they keep harboring that, it gets bigger and bigger till they actually could even yield themselves over to demonic oppression and possession. But you have these things, but when we realize something made them that way, will help you be merciful. Because except for the grace of God, you could be worse. We've all had a measure of grace influence us. You had somebody godly influence your life, be an example, speak encouragement to you, show you the right way. Where when people don't have any of that, now all they see is meanness and ugliness, can make them mean and ugly. People create mean and ugly kids by exhibiting that behavior. And then they want to scratch your head. Why are they in prison for murder or whatever, you know, this they would do? You are because of what you were. You are today because of what you did yesterday and back on through in your life. You know, you have like a musical instrument. You don't just get up and start to play. What you could do today is because you practiced yesterday. When I say yesterday, I don't mean Saturday. I mean yesteryear, in the past. Jesus is, was, and is to come. He's the God of the present, past, and future. And one thing I want to enforce at this moment is that everything of the past needs to be reconciled with the truth of the Word of God. Because where you fail to recognize, to reconcile the past to the Word, that's the very point. You're stopped and chained like a ship having an anchor. It's not going to go any further. And it's so sad to me, you know, the Lord paid the greatest price ever to save us from sin, to set us free. And people will banter about the word freedom, being very ignorant many times, because they think it means I'm free to do whatever I want. No, we're free from sin to do the will of God. Because if you just pursue what you want, you know, you go back into selfishness and sin. But we are free. Sin has no power over us. Devils have no power over us. Circumstance has no power over us. Oh, you might get knocked down or something. We can get right back up by the power of God. We are free. We are not to be held into bondage. But if we don't deal with what's happened, we will not be able to flow in what is available to us. Now, there are many things concerning the past. One, your sins bring guilt. Guilt, condemnation, which hinders you to have confidence before God. So you need to be cleansed of all sin. Appropriate the blood of Jesus Christ in your life by acknowledging, Lord, you shed your blood to cleanse me and to remove all sin and sin consciousness and give me that gift of righteousness. Remove that. People are going to hurt you. They're going to do you wrong, do you dirty. Sometimes on purpose, sometimes they don't even know. Most of the time people don't even know that their sins is hurting you. Most times they're oblivious. Sometimes they know it. They want to hurt you. But it doesn't matter. We are commanded to forgive because the kingdom of God operates by love. And that is realm is love above everything else. That's the realm of is that we can abide in. Jesus said, I gave you this commandment to love one another that your joy might be full. You want real joy? It's in the love life. Amen. It's in the love life. Purposing. Give of yourself. See, that's in that is realm. That's the place you want to be. In the is of Jesus. If you want to study on this, the Gospel of John's a great place to study this. Because throughout, there's a number of times Jesus said, I am resurrection life. I am the good shepherd. I am the light to the world. He declares who he was or the is. And John 14, he said he has to go and prepare a place that where he is, they may be also. Jesus at that time wasn't in heaven. He was on the earth. But he was at a place in spirit of love, joy, and peace, the kingdom of God. That's where he abode. That's what he lived in. And he had to die to make it possible for us to enter into where he was right then. The is of God. Is peace, is joy. And things, like I said, things happen. Sometimes fear comes in our life. Everyone will encounter fear. To say you've never been afraid, you're a liar. Everyone will encounter fear. And if you don't reconcile that to the truth of who is Jesus to my fear, then that will bind you. So people have things happen to them. I remember once I had someone. He had a van, and we were out and about, out in sort of like a wood, you know, wooded area, walking down the road. And this person that lived down there had some ferocious-sounding dogs, and he came charging up the road. And I knew enough to know. You be still and don't exhibit fear. Because if they smell fear, they'll attack you. Just be at peace. Talk softly. Anyway, I turned to look for my friend, and I was, where'd he go? He was up on the roof of the van. And so after the dogs leave, and I said, "What are you doing up there, man?" It's like, well, he was attacked by dogs one time when he was young. That fear was still there. And sometimes there's things, there's fears you don't realize are there because maybe they didn't surface for a while, but all it takes is the thing to trigger it. Sometimes people have fears of people, talking about them, betraying them. Yeah, I've been betrayed so many times I can't even number it. If I didn't deal with not allowing fear for that, I would have quit years ago, I'd have been done. You can't be afraid of being hurt by people. I mean, to live in fear of being hurt, you just go live in a cave. But the love of God's greater than all of that and can swallow that up. And when you're going through something like that, it may not be pleasant. It can be very sorrowful. But there is a victory in the love of God. And with that, the necessity is to forgive, forgive, forgive. So Jesus, when he was talking about the daily prayer life, included praying forgiveness in your daily prayer life. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. There are a number places where your receiving forgiveness is contingent on you forgiving. One of the things that made such an impression on me about this was in 1985, I had opportunity to go out to Tulsa, and Dr. Cho was going to be at the ORU Convention Center, and I really wanted to hear him. And at that time, his church in Seoul, South Korea, numbered 750,000 people. So I'd say that's been pretty successful. And I went to hear him, and it's interesting. He's a very simple man. And he shared, I'll just throw this in there. People ask, what's your secret to success? And you want to hear some 23 steps to success. He says, I pray and I obey. No, but what's your secret? I pray and I obey. But anyway, he's sharing there, and he shared how the Lord put on his heart to go to Japan and minister to pastors there. And he's pastor of the largest church in the world at that point. So he goes, and there's, I don't know, like 10,000 or thousands of pastors from Japan at this meeting. And he stands up before them, and all he could see was Japanese soldiers. Because he was a boy in World War II, and they killed his family. They killed many in Korea. But he watched them bury his family alive. And there was an American missionary that took him in. His name slips me right now, but this missionary took him in, and he became a great man of God. But he's standing in front of these pastors, and the only thing he could say is, I hate you. I hate you. I hate you. How's that for an opening of ministry? Maybe some people feel that way from their pastor. Hopefully you never feel that way from me. But that is how he opens up. Is there anything he could say? I hate you. I hate you. And as he looked over them, he saw them all like sitting in Japanese soldiers' uniforms, World War II. Because he hadn't really forgiven and released it. Them killing his family alive. Burying them alive. Bayoneting them. So here he was. He came to that point doing a work for God. Just because God uses you doesn't mean everything's right between you and him. If that was the case, then the letter to the 1 Corinthians has error. He said, you come behind and no gift, but you're a bunch of babies, carnal babies. Sometimes God will work in spite of you. Praise God for that. We don't have to be perfect. There wouldn't be any hope for any of us if we had to be perfect. Jesus would just have to walk on the earth all the time. And it's not about your perfection. Now, you don't have to be perfect. But there comes a point you're accountable for certain things. And when he stood before those Japanese pastors, it all flashed back to him. He had smoothed over or covered over this hatred. The great man of God, mightily used of the Lord. But see, now it's decision day for him. He can forgive today or the hand of God lift off of him. You see, sometimes people, they'll observe people and say, why did this happen to them or why did this happen over here? Don't do that. You don't know what people are accountable for. You know, some people get X number of chances to accept the Lord before they die. And some, maybe it's younger, but you know this, God's just. They had an opportunity. And there's a point they were accountable. They needed to deal with it. And just because God in his mercy gives you more time, that doesn't mean you're always going to have time to continue harboring something like that. We've got to let it go. We need to come into the place of obedience. Now, what I'm sharing with you is the pathway to is. Love, joy, and peace. You know, you can hear about such things, as we all do. But if you don't experience it, you begin to get frustrated even hearing about it. Well, I hear about this peace, but I don't know what it is. I hear about this love, but I hear about, you talk about joy. You know, you have people that they don't really partake, and it leads to a frustration. There are people who accepted the Lord that because they're not led into the place of is, where the Lord is, because they're not led into that, they never really experience it. They get frustrated and disillusioned. And they think all these things you're preaching about, it's not real. Or it's fantasy or something. No, it's real. And it's available. And Jesus, no respecter of persons, it's available to whosoever would believe and call upon his name and draw near to him and seek him. As they say, the ground's level at the cross. Equal opportunity. I say employer, but we're not really being employed. Equal opportunity for us. You might say, well, you don't know how much bad I've had to deal with. That's all the more you should be drawn near to him. Now, I'm serious what I'm saying here. The person who has life easy actually has a greater challenge. Because they need to see just by revelation, without the suffering, to see who he is and what he's done and draw near to him so they don't end up with a lot of suffering. If you want to avoid a lot of pain and sorrow, seek God with all that you have. There'll still be pain and sorrow, but we can make life a lot worse for ourselves. Well, this realm of is open to us, but it's because of what was. And what Jesus was, he was the Word made flesh. He was the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. He was the offering for our sin. And as a result, he was raised from the dead. He died spiritually with our sin. He went to hell for us with our sin. He suffered for you the judgment that you were deserving to pay. That's what he was. And because of what he was, because of the redemptive work of the offering of his life, he became Lord and head of the church, raised from the dead. He paid the price for humanity. Resurrection life. He is resurrection life. And he'll be that for us. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is our shepherd. He is my healer. Hallelujah. He is our righteousness, our sanctification, our redemption. So in studying the Word, we want to see who he is, what's available to us in him, and we want to see what brought that into possibility, or what was. His redemptive work made it all possible. And he's done all that in purpose of is to come. If you don't stay conscious of what is to come, you'll get your eyes on this world that is around you and begin to serve it. But he set us free from the power of sin and conquered death. He was dead. He conquered death, rose up alive to make all this possible for us. So we want to immerse ourselves in the past of Jesus and let go of our own. Don't allow self-pity. Oh, poor me. Oh, I got it so rough and tough. To talk like that's a denial of the Word of God. That the greater one lives in you. The power of God's available to you. The wisdom of God. You may need wisdom. You may need wisdom to know what to do. A lot of times we don't know what to do. But he'll be unto us wisdom. He'll be unto us resurrection, life, and power. And it's all for a purpose. That at the end of time, he would have a family. But don't just see what he does, but they know who he is. You know, when it comes to knowing people, learn to look for what makes them who they are. Not just what they do. If they're doing wrong, that can be changed. It can be repented of. They can get victory. Maybe you can help them get it. They can get victory. Yeah, I share at times about loving people. If you just look at what they're doing for you, that's very superficial. But we want to learn to love them for who they are. And maybe there's a lot of bad in there. But value the good. Is there anything good in there? If it's not, they can come to know the one who is. Well, the Lord who was, who is, who was, and is to come. He made us kings and priests, we might glorify him. Or that which he would want to bring us into, the purpose of it, what is to come, is the glory of God. If you want to go to heaven, it's to give glory to God and bask in his glory forever and ever. I was listening to a teaching by Henry Groover yesterday. And some of you would have heard him because I had him here about 24 years ago, I think it is. Man of God went to heaven a couple times and just had a lot of awesome stuff. But he said, you know, a lot of people would be very uncomfortable in heaven. If you have unforgiveness in your heart, you're going to be very uncomfortable in the presence of love. The purity, the holiness. If you have no heart of appreciation to God, you'll be very uncomfortable around the glorious praise going to God. Anyway, he was making a point that there's different, how should I say, levels in heaven, or different places. And our heart really should be to want to be as close to the throne, as close to him as possible. For that purpose, you were created. He wants a family that knows him. You want somebody to know you. Every human being does, till they just put walls up. You want someone, you know, people want someone to hear their heart and value them for their heart. Guys, I'll give you a little tip here. That's one of the most important things to your wife. For her to know you've heard her heart and you cherish what's inside of her. God wanted us to know him. And it's through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We know love by the death of his son. That's how you define love. And we know his victory in the resurrection. We're raised up with him. So purpose in your heart. We need vision, as one way people say it. We need purpose. We need the destiny of God before us all the time. I talk about it a lot. You ever notice that? It's because it's really, really important. I'm not just saying something out of my head. It is really important. You will get distracted by the world if you don't keep that in front of you every day. And that appreciation, that love for Jesus, for that he made it possible to partake the kingdom of God. But we do need to deal with our fears, the guilt, the bitterness, hatred, all that. Don't let it lay for a second. Sometimes when opportunities to get upset come, I tell my wife, I can't afford it. Well, that's a luxury I can't afford. I need Jesus. I need his love, joy, and peace. I can't afford this other garbage over here. So there's times you might want to get mad. You might want to have an attitude or whatever. Can't afford it. When we really see the value, the preciousness of what was provided, I'm not even going to go there. So let it go. Let it go. Father, I pray you just burn this word into our heart today that, Lord, we purpose to hear the voice of God concerning being set free from all things past, whether yesterday or 30 years ago. We release it. We forgive like we are forgiven. And I thank you, Father, that we can partake the great joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. We thank you for it, Father. In the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.